I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing, Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. A couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed, Emmanuel and Savior. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. A star shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and gold and myrrh, they gave to you and cried out, Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
At this time, if you're able, I invite you to please arise and face our entrance. As we are gathered here tonight, we remember that we have been baptized into Christ. That means we have been clothed with Jesus Christ, and it's important that we continue to be sorry for our sins. We continue to trust in Him for eternal life. We continue to have on that clothing of Jesus Christ. Remembering back to our baptism, we continue here in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, the promised Messiah. O Christ, the great desire of nations. O Lord, the one we worship and adore. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that moment by moment, day by day, we are sorry for our sins, trusting in the Christ for eternal life, and ever ready for his glorious return. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. At this time, I invite the children to please come forward. Welcome, everybody. Good to see you tonight. Merry Christmas. You know, when I think about tonight, this is really the way to start off our celebration of Christmas. What do I mean by that? By gathering right here in God's house. This is a great way to begin our Christmas celebration. Why is that? What is Christmas all about? What is it, Bronson? Yeah, it is the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think about Jesus, all of you tonight are going to get an ornament like this you can put on your Christmas tree. And when you think about this ornament here, I want to think about some things about it. So first of all, when we think about Jesus, we are celebrating his birthday. But really, though, who is Jesus? Is he just a man, or is he more than that, Bronson? He is God's very son. That's right. So he is the son of God all the way from eternity. So he's the son of God, but yet at the right time, he came down from heaven and he put on human flesh and he took the name Jesus. So that's who he is. And then, does anybody happen to know the name of the town where he was born? Okay, I guess somebody knows. Very good. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem. So does anybody know what the name of this church is? The name of this church is Bethlehem. Why do we have that name? Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Yeah, so this is kind of our special night here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. Well, one more thing. So we know who he is. He is the Son of God in human flesh. We know he was born in the town of Bethlehem. But why is it, though? Why is it that the Son of God came into the world, put on human flesh? What's the reason? What's the reason for him coming? Okay, very good, Noah. So he came in order to, well, he did come to die on the cross, like you said, Noah. But before that, though, he came to live a perfect life. So the Bible says he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he never sinned. Not even once did he do anything wrong. So he lived a perfect life. He did that in place of you. He did that in place of me. And then he went to the cross. And when he was put on the cross, that is when God the Father in heaven, he took the sins of the whole world and he put them on Jesus. Now, when I say the sins of the whole world, that means everything you guys have done wrong, everything I have done wrong, everything everybody has done wrong, that was put on Jesus, and then he took our punishment. He was punished for all the bad things we have done, and then he said, "It is finished." That means he finished making the way to heaven for everyone who receives him as his Savior. I see you have a Superman there, Vinny. So Jesus, isn't he the ultimate Superman? Yeah, he's the ultimate superhero, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and through him, the way to heaven is open. Thanks so much for coming up, you guys. I have a bag for each of you. So please take a bag and head back to your seats. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, great to see you tonight on this Christmas Eve 2021. We have three Bible readings tonight. We're going to take a look at them. I'm going to make a couple brief comments as we go so we can all better understand them and understand a little bit better what Christmas is really all about. Before I do that, though, let me set this up by talking a little bit about the sad situation in which our nation is in. So I looked at a recent Pew Research survey, and they found that less people celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday. Less people say Merry Christmas. Less people are in favor of religious displays on government property, and less people believe that Jesus was actually born of a virgin. Kind of a sad state of affairs as these things become less and less and less. However, though, with that said, I'm so thrilled that each and every one of you are here tonight. Like I said to the children, this is a great way to begin the celebration of Christmas by focusing on the Christ. Really, it is all about Him, and really, Him coming is all about us. If it wasn't for us, certainly He would not have come. So let's understand how much God loves us, and let's understand how far God has gone in order to open the way for us to be with Him forever and ever. Coming to our first reading tonight, we're in Isaiah chapter 7, picking up in verse 10. Let me set this up, though, because when we start at verse 10, it's a little bit difficult to understand. The situation here, we're about 700 years before the time of Christ. And the king of Judah, that's the southern kingdom, the king of Judah, his name is Ahaz. And Ahaz is very fearful, along with all the people in Judah. What made them so fearful? They were fearful because the northern kingdom of Israel and also the nation of Syria, north of them, those two nations had combined together. They were going to attack Judah. And the Bible says they were so afraid that the people were literally shaking like leaves on a tree. God knew about that. God knows everything. So what did God do? God said, Isaiah, I want you to go to the king, and I want you to tell him that the efforts of Israel and Syria, they are going to fail. Don't worry about it. What happened? Let's go ahead and go to the text right now, and we'll find out. The Bible says, Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God to prove that your enemies will fail. That was the idea of asking the sign. The Lord said to him, Make the sign deep as Sheol, or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then Isaiah said, Listen now, O house of David, is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. So God the Father sent his Son to put on flesh, to live for us, to take our sins, to open the way to heaven. And what's going on with our Lord Jesus Christ right now? He is our risen Savior. He is reigning over all things, and one day he's going to return. What is so important is that we remain ready for his return. What does it mean to be ready? To be ready means to live in repentance. It means to be repentant. Here's my list of what I think about in regard to repentance. So regarding our sin, we're admitting it. We're not denying it, we're admitting. When it comes to the reality of hell, that's a terrible thing. But see, the Bible teaches that because we have sinned, that is what we deserve. And then the Bible goes on and says, no matter who we are, no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, we can't fix it. We are helpless. The Bible states that once the Holy Spirit works those realities about sin, hell, and helplessness, finally at that point, God then makes us sorry for our sins. He shows us that we, as weak, sinful people, we have sinned against God Almighty, and God makes us sorry for that. And the amazing thing is, even in the midst of us sinning, God is still loving us. God still cares about us. God is still working in our lives. God still wants to bring us home to heaven. And then, what does the Holy Spirit do? He gives us that gift of faith by which we are then trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. And then we have great joy knowing that, wow, even though I deserve the worst, I have the best. I have it as a gift. I can live with joy. I can live with peace. And I know that someday I'm going to be with God forever. That's what God wants for every single one of us. Let's go on to our hymn. Our second reading tonight is in 1 John chapter 4. So it's talking about God loving us, and when we receive that love from God, then we are equipped and ready to be able to show love for others. We hear a lot about love in the world today, but I ask you tonight, what is love? When you say, I love you to someone else, what do you mean by that? If we're going to say it, we should know what it means. I invite you to think about love having three components. First of all, love is paying attention to another person. So we're paying attention to another person, and as we do that, we see what that person needs. Upon seeing what the person needs, then we have a heart of compassion toward that person. We care about that person. That's the second part of love. And then the third part is that we take action in order to help that person according to his or her need. Think about what God did for us. God was paying attention to us. God saw that we were in sin. God saw that the door to heaven was closed, no way that we could ever get in. So God cared about us. God doesn't want us to be apart from him forever. God wants us to be with him. So then God took action. He planned to send his son, and when the time was right, he sent him into the world to take away our sins. That is true love. Let's see what the Bible says. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When we receive the love of God, that is going to show in our lives. Have any of you ever been doing some kind of an electrical job at home and you got shocked? Ever happened to anybody? I've been shocked too much, I suppose. Maybe that's what's wrong with me. I've been shocked. But anyway, though, when you get shocked, you know it, don't you? You're not like continuing to hang on to that wire. You try to let go of it right away. You know something happened. What I'm trying to say here is, when we receive the love of God, hey, we know something happened. We are different now, and that's going to show in our lives. That's what I'm getting at here. The Bible goes on and says, by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we might live spiritually and eternally through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means he was the sin offering. See, we have sinned, an offering has to be offered. We don't have anything to offer, so God had to send his Son, and God had to make his Son the all-sufficient offering. That's what he did. He propitiated our sins. He was our great offering. So when we think about our sins, let's understand our sins have earned a penalty. It's a penalty we can't pay. It's a penalty we cannot escape from. And the penalty really is very severe. But what does the Bible go on to say, though? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides, that is, continues in us, and his love is perfected in us. That is, God's love flows through us to others. That's what God wants for each one of us. The Bible goes on, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." So when we think about that, God wants us to understand that he is the one working to give us this godly sorrow. He is the one who gives us this gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus, not just in general, but we are trusting in him for eternal life. We are trusting in him to take that step across the threshold of heaven and into heaven. It's all about our confidence in Jesus. And then, having that faith in Jesus, what happens? God the Holy Spirit, he comes and he dwells within us. Think about how awesome that is, the third person of the Holy Trinity coming to live right within us. That is such a game changer. And then once that happens, then we are all equipped to be able to show the love of God for others. Think about it this way. See, when God loved us, we didn't deserve his love at all, but he loved us anyway. See, true love is when we are showing love to others who deserve nothing from us, even people who are our enemies, even people who hate us. When we show love for them, that is true love. When we love other people who love us in return, well, that's nice too, but when we see really true love, that is when it's very one-sided. That's God's love for us, and that's the kind of love that God wants us to have and then show toward other people. Finally, in the reading it says, "By his Spirit we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us." What does that mean? That is, we know our sin, we know God has sent his Son, and we know we have forgiveness through Jesus. Those are wonderful things, not just to hear about and to know about, but to know, to personally have, to personally benefit from. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. It's all talking about this topic of relationship. God wants us to be in relationship with him. He will be in relationship with us. It will be wonderful now, and it will be even much, much better forever and ever. By grace through faith, we are saved. Now, let us abide in Christ to the end. What are some important things? It's important that we are in the Bible listening to what God says to us. It's important that we respond back by talking to God in prayer. It's important that we take what the Bible says, make application in our lives. Those are all key things that God wants to work within us in order to keep us in Jesus Christ all the way to the end. Let's continue with our next hymn. Our final reading for tonight, we come to the gospel reading. We're in Matthew chapter 1, picking up in verse 18. And this is more what we think about with the Christmas story, even though the real Christmas story is over in Luke chapter 2. We're going to focus on that tomorrow. But tonight, though, Matthew chapter 1. As we get into the reading here, we see a decision made by Joseph. The Bible says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, that is, engaged to Joseph, before they came together sexually, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, that is, he was a believer in the coming Messiah, and not wanting to disgrace her, that is, to expose her to the public that she was pregnant, he planned to send her away secretly. Think about Joseph for a minute. What a difficult thing. So he gets engaged. Shortly after he gets engaged to Mary, which is almost like marriage back at that time. So they're engaged, and then she takes a trip to visit her relative Elizabeth. And maybe she has gone even as much as 6 months. Now, before she left, she's already pregnant with Jesus, being gone 6 months, and she comes back, and Joseph looks at her. He knows he's never been with her. She's pregnant. She's showing. She's maybe 6 months along. So he knows she had to have been with another man. Can you imagine how crushed he would have been, how disappointed he would have been? Now, what he could have done is he could have made this a big public thing. He could have said, I was engaged to her. We were basically married. She was with some other man. I'm making that known to the whole public. And really what the public could have done is they could have said, she has fallen into sin and we can stone her to death. That's what he could have done. But the Bible says he was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He was also trusting in the Messiah yet to come. So he decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just quietly say, Mary, I know you've been with another man. I'm just going to let you go. Go ahead and leave the village. Go and be with him. I won't say anything, and we'll just forget the whole thing. That's what he was going to do. But what happened, though? Well, an angel intervenes. The Bible says, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Notice in the next verse now, notice how clearly it says, this is the job of Mary. Joseph, this is your job right here. And Jesus, he has a super important job. The angel said to Joseph, she will bear a son. And you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus, because he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. As we think about the church in the world today, there's a lot of confusion, isn't there, as to how we get out of our sin, how we get to heaven. It's so clear right here. It's saying the job of Jesus is to take away our sins. Why can't any of us get into heaven? It's all because of sin. So God sends his son to take away that sin. Where should our trust be? It should completely be in Jesus. He is the Son of God. He lived for us. He died for us. He did the whole thing. There should be no trust at all in us. Every single one of us are sinners deserving hell, but God is offering us the gift of heaven through Jesus. Wow, what an amazing thing. And then thinking about the Old Testament reading earlier, now we see the fulfillment. The Bible says here, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The reading goes on and tells us about the birth of Jesus. It says, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. When we think about the big picture of everything, I hope you walk away from tonight at least thinking about this. So each one of us have a big problem. I have the same big problem, and that big problem is sin. That is our big problem, but what is the wonderful thing that God has done? God has sent his son. God's son is his gift to us. When we think about Christmas, so many people are caught up in the whole idea of gifts. What we should be focusing on is the greatest gift of all, and the greatest gift of all is God's Son. So we have this huge problem of sin. What happens? God gives us the gift of His Son, and what is the primary work of the Son? To take away the sin of the world. It's kind of like looking at a small child and saying, oh, that child has cold feet, I will get him the gift of socks. Is that child going to be thrilled about the socks? Yeah, probably not. But think about it, though. When we realize, wow, we have sin, and if that's not taken care of, that's going to pull us into hell. And there's nothing we can do to escape. And then God steps in, and God gives us the gift of forgiveness in Christ. Wow, that is the greatest present ever. Let's think about it. Let's rejoice in what God has done. Let's all celebrate a wonderful Christ-centered Christmas. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we ponder our sin and the horrible eternity we all deserve, let us remain in awe of your great love and the gift of your forgiveness to us through Jesus. In his holy name we pray. Amen. We continue now with our prayers. If you're able, I invite you to please arise. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for what's been given tonight. Thank you especially for every person, every soul that you have brought into our building. I thank you for each and every one. I pray that what was said tonight would be beneficial to each one, and if they have needs, if they have questions, move them to ask me so I can try to be a special blessing to them. Father, in your mercy. Dear Father, we thank you that we have an abundance of our basic needs. We have food, we have clothing, we have shelter, and so much more. Help us to think about it. Help us to know we don't deserve it, but yet you have given it, and help us to be thankful. Father, in your mercy. Dear Father, we pray that you would look upon our nation, move us to be sorry, and grant us your gift of forgiveness. Dear Father, I could go on to name a list of our national sins, and we have so many, and they are so serious. Dear Father, for every heart, show us what is right, show us what is wrong, make us sorry, and change us, and bless us again according to your will. Father, in your mercy. Dear Father, we pray that you would grant us true godly sorrow for being complacent, for being unfaithful. Dear Father, you know how we are pulled moment by moment, day by day, by this world, by the forces of evil, to go in ways that are not good for us and are not pleasing to you. Forgive us for such things and change us. Father, in your mercy. Dear Father, help us from this day going forward to make a commitment that every day we will open the Bible and hear what you have to say to us, and we can respond back to you in prayer. Grant that regular conversation between us and use that to be a blessing to us. Father, in your mercy. Dear Father, as we celebrate Christmas now, later tonight, tomorrow, maybe even on Sunday, as we gather with family, with friends, make it a truly Christ-centered celebration. Help us to remember what Christmas is all about and fill us with great peace and great joy. Father, in your mercy. Dear Father, we thank you for the genuine love that you have shown toward us, and we pray that even tonight you would continue to show that genuine love for every person in the world that does not yet trust in Jesus for eternal life. Show them their sins, shower them with your goodness, and bring them to Christ. Father, in your mercy. Dear Father, we thank you for good health. Thank you we can all gather here tonight, blessed with feeling good. We also think about those who are sick, who are in need, people who are ill in their homes, people who are hospitalized, and so on. We think about little Grayson, a three-year-old boy with COVID, and countless others in need. Dear Father, look upon them with mercy, heal them according to your will. Father, in your mercy. Dear Father, as we soon end 2021 and step into 2022, help us to be recommitted that we will put you first, that we will seek your will in every circumstance, and we can do so completely knowing such things are best. Father, in your mercy. We pray, dear Father, that you would remove all of our fear. We live in a world where so many are fearful. Help us to know that knowing you in Christ, there is absolutely nothing to fear. Take away all fear from all things, and then give us courage, give us love, that we would share your saving truth with others. Father, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be within you to refresh you, be before you to guide you, be around you to protect you, be beneath you to uphold you, and be above you to bless you. Amen.